It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with a story about Ramadan, which is underway.
1.8 billion Muslims all over the world observe the holy month of Ramadan. That includes the children at the Crescent Learning Center, an Islamic childcare center in Milwaukee. Reporter Christina Leffring tells us the center's founder strives to help refugee children and their parents feel at home during the holiday and through the rest of the year.
Crescent Learning Center is like any typical childcare center. Kids play with clay.
It's a teddy.
They make gifts for Mother's Day. And, of course, there's Baby Shark. But it's also unique because this is an Islamic childcare center. And it's the month of Ramadan, the holiest month of the year for Muslims.
The kids get excited about Ramadan.
That's Rafat Arain, the founder and director at Crescent Learning Center. The kids we just heard are too young to fast, which means no food or water from sunrise to sunset. But their families still wake up early to eat a big breakfast before sunrise and share a big feast at the end of the day when the sun sets. The whole community gathers in homes and at mosques to celebrate. And for the kids who are old enough to fast, it is a joyous rite of passage.
The parents do put more effort in making their favorite things, samosas and all those brownies and all of those the things that the kids love. It's exciting for the kids.
It's also a lesson in gratitude for what you have and empathy for those who have less than you.
There are so many people in this world that don't have any food. We are giving up this food out of choice. But a lot of people have no choice. They just don't have the food. So you feel their pain too. You have to feel the pain of hunger that a lot of people are going through.
Which may be closer to home than the children realize. Arain, who's originally from Pakistan, started working with refugees in 1993 when her family took in a family that had fled the war in Bosnia. Since then, she's worked to help each new wave of refugees resettle in Milwaukee. Somali, Burmese, Rohingya, and most recently, Afghan.
I think I have a weakness for the refugees somehow. I was never a refugee myself, but I just feel that it would be... I came to this country, I spoke English, I was educated, I didn't have to, you know, go through all of that. We are in this world for a purpose, not just to eat and drink and sleep and take care of ourselves. We have to do it for others. If I have this education, it's not for me to keep it to myself, it is to share it with others. That's everything that we have.
She decided to open the childcare center when she saw refugee kids were falling behind in school. The center opens early and closes late to accommodate parents' work schedules. And during the pandemic, the center stayed open and staff helped the kids with virtual school. Arain's office is set up to welcome parents with tea, snacks, and a sofa where they can sit and talk. She's also hired staff from several refugee communities.
See, I have Burmese staff, I have Somali staff, I have Arabic staff, I have Moroccan staff. When those people come to me, I have translators over here. A lot of parents depend on me. They have problems. I have the sofa, they come. It's a good thing. Someday I might need help. God will send somebody for me.
Back in the classroom, children are encouraged to give to charity. And as the teachers warm up their halal lunch, they remind the children to say Bismillah.
Say Bismillah!
A blessing before eating their rice and vegetables. Most of these children are too young to fast for Ramadan or to remember what their families went through when they left their home countries. But one day they'll join millions of Muslims around the world as they remember to be grateful for the roof over their head, the food on their plate, and the people who've helped them call Milwaukee home.
Christina Leffring brought us that story on Ramadan and the Crescent Learning Center in Milwaukee. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Maureen McCollum.
It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The National Collegiate Gymnastics Association is the governing body for Division III women's gymnastics. The championships held recently in Winona, Minnesota, it was a UW sweep with the top three finishes. UW Stout in third, UW La Crosse in second, and UW Oshkosh's gymnastics team clinching the title. Call in with your questions, your thoughts on gymnastics, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Lauren Karnitz is head gymnastics coach at UW Oshkosh. Lauren, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Good morning. And Kaylee Burns is here on the team, a junior majoring in business management. Kaylee, welcome and congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Kaylee, so how does it feel to be a two-time national champion in college gymnastics?
It definitely feels amazing. It was a very surreal experience, and I think we're all just super grateful that we got to do it all again.
What made it so surreal?
I think there was just a lot of pressure, and going in, being the reigning national champs, made us kind of realize we knew how hard it was to win. And I think with how much hard work we put in the gym, it was just amazing to see it all pay off.
Lauren, what have you told your gymnasts walking into competitions with a championship on the line and to have that reigning title?
You know, at one point during the season, we were talking about how we're not the team from last year. We need to pave our own way. Yes, some of the members are the same. But then there was a flip probably around mid-February when I said, listen, this is our title to lose. Like, we are the defending national champions. We need to start acting like we're the defending national champions. I mean, everybody else has a lot more to prove than we do. At this point, you know, we actually are sitting on top. So let's start acting like it. Because at the beginning, we were a little more timid, like we had something to lose. And I get that idea that we did. We were the defending national champions. We're on top. You know, sometimes people say there's nowhere but down from here, you know, because once you're up. But so we kind of flipped our coaching strategy to be like, you know, we are it. We are at the place that people want to be. You know, we talked a lot about being grateful and that kind of attitude, but also, you know, start being proud. Be proud of what the team did last year and put you in the position you're in now.
I wonder if that mindset shift midwinter made you see anything differently on the apparatus? I mean, did that translate into the gymnastics?
I think it changed the energy we brought and our athletes to bring to the gym every day. So between the coaching staff and the athletes, we asked them to bring this high energy every day. And from there on out, you know, we didn't lose. So,
Kaylee, I just want to get reaction from Kaylee there on that change in energy. Did you feel that mindset shift?
Yes, definitely. Especially with moving from being kind of timid, as Lauren said, to just giving it everything you have, like not holding back, trusting yourself. It was just more fun to go out there with the team and kind of be like, yeah, we can do this. Like, we got this.
And Lauren, this is not just a national championship team. I mean, this is a team that has a storied history, like 49 national titles. So what does that type of history, you know, how does that speak to the program? What do you say with that?
So the 49 national titles are across all the sports within our athletic department.
I see. Okay.
But, you know, in recent years, men's basketball did it in 2019, and then it's been us. And so we're kind of leading that championship charge at our university. Within our team, we have six now. And I would say, you know, it's really special. When I was in college, the team that we were always trying to top was lacrosse, and they were a huge rival, and they have such a long legacy of being number one. And so to be here now, at this point, after everything we've been through for the last couple of years, as a society, I feel like this has been an amazing journey. At times I didn't know, you know, what was meant for us, but now to see this on the other side, it's been pretty special.
Kaylee, when you were a freshman, the season was shortened due to COVID, and then last year you helped win a national title. What has it been like for you to go through a pandemic and still stay true and focused to your sport?
Freshman year was pretty tough, just coming in during COVID and everything. I think it made me understand how much more special like a real season is, and having a national championship and being able to fight for that. Because freshman year, we only got, I think, 4 meets. It really just helped me put into perspective how amazing even D3 gymnastics is. I also think it helps just as a team, like we wanted it more. It helps push us to want it more, to work harder the next year, just because we had lost some time. So,
Lauren, you know, your student athletes are ineligible for scholarship money in D3, Division III sports. What draws athletes to compete without the scholarships, without that financial boost?
I would say a lot of student athletes compete without scholarships. So what we see on TV is the minority in college athletics. So I think it's the experience that we can provide here. Everybody wants this family dynamic, and I would say that the one we have is pretty special. Everybody's families are different, so family dynamic means something different to everybody. But I think when they come here to this community in Oshkosh and then meet our team and meet people within the athletic department, they feel a sense of, you know, belonging. And I think that that kind of sells itself. To be able to get these high performing athletes into Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
Can you zoom out for a moment? Are women's gymnastics teams at the college level, are they growing? Are they shrinking? Are they plateauing? What is their status?
So I've been here for 16 years. At one point it was shrinking, then it plateaued, and now it's growing, actually. We just added 5 schools to college gymnastics as a whole. And I mean, I just see it continuing to grow because enrollment numbers at a lot of private institutions are going down. And so some are having to close their doors, and adding sports is a way to guarantee that you're going to get a certain number of students in every year. So we're seeing an increase in our sport of programs for that reason.
Lauren Karnitz, head gymnastics coach, UW Oshkosh. We have gymnast Kaylee Burns on the team. Join in with your questions and comments about gymnastics, especially at the college level, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The UW Oshkosh women's gymnastics program, they won their second consecutive Division III national championship in Winona, Minnesota recently. Join in with your questions and comments along the way, 800-642-1234. We have gymnast Kaylee Burns, UW Oshkosh Junior from Colorado, and Lauren Karnitz, head gymnastics coach at UW Oshkosh. Kaylee, you know, gymnastics can take a physical toll. How do you avoid injuries or long-term physical effects from this sport?
So I actually did have a minor injury this past season. I pulled my groin, but we have an awesome athletic trainer and staff. And so I think really just taking care of our body and making sure we get in to see them when needed. Also just like getting enough sleep, taking care of ourselves in general. I think Lauren also does a good job of, if we're hurting, like in the gym, just doing exactly what we need to do, nothing extra, no extra pounding and stuff like that. So
no extra pounding. And you're really a successful competitor on uneven bars and balance beam. What is your advice for someone training ahead of an athletic competition, especially on bars and beam?
I think one of the main things that I've learned is to just trust yourself, trust your training, not to overthink anything. Also, just to stay calm. And I get super anxious, I think, about things. And one of the hardest things for me was definitely learning to just breathe and stay in the moment, do exactly what I knew how to do in competitions, and then just do my best in practice, work hard. So,
Lauren, what comes up for you? Where is that line between pushing an athlete to get better and pushing an athlete to a point of injury or burnout?
I would say we've done a really good job managing the balance. It is a lot of trying to figure out the individual athlete. With Kaylee in particular, she handles a lot more than what she probably should. So it's trying to say, okay, that was great, but you only get this many chances to do it today, because I know that she'll keep going for an hour on something if it's not right. And so just paying attention to the type of athlete that I have and kind of pushing and pulling back when needed with their personalities. I think that sometimes as a group, you know, Kaylee will attest to this, earlier in the season, they were doing a lot of group beam routines because as a group, they were not making it. And at times it seemed like a little much, but there was the need for that. I mean, we won nationals because of beam. And I think that that made them stronger emotionally by saying, no, we don't get to be done until everybody does it today.
Mm. I want to get both of your reactions to mental health and rewind for a moment to the Tokyo Olympics in 2021, where Simone Biles withdraws from the women's team final and realizing the mental's not there, Simone said. How did that decision affect gymnastics culture, Kaylee, surrounding mental health?
I think it's, there's a lot that I saw in it. And I think it kind of just was a good reminder that you have to take care of yourself mentally and you have to pay attention to where you are mentally to be able to perform at your best. I think it helps me just personally as an athlete kind of step back and be like, okay, how do I feel about like gymnastics mentally? When is it too much to push yourself? And so I think it really just started that conversation, especially in gymnastics. So,
Lauren, what came up for you when you saw that transpire with Simone Biles?
I do think that her level of gymnastics is a little different than what we deal with on a daily basis. Yes, we have individuals that have, we call them mental blocks, where they struggle to get to the next skill or can't actually visually see themselves doing their skill. We haven't had too much of a problem here just because the pressure level is a little different than in elite gymnastics. And then also given everything she was dealing with USA gymnastics and her lawsuits and, you know, trying to do it for a country that didn't protect her.
Reflecting there on Larry Nassar.
Correct. Yeah, there was a lot, I think, that went into her situation. And we do have to deal with some of that at this level. But I think what we try to do is just give them the best experience for the last 4 years of their career. So if they don't want to do an event, you know, Kaylee was struggling on vault physically, you know, her body was not holding up. So we removed it. You know, it's not the end of the world if we don't do every event. You know, in Division III college gymnastics, we can specialize a little more because we can have more individuals on the team than before and stuff like that. So when it comes to gymnastics and mental health, I think we all have pieces of it, but I think it was definitely magnified at her level because of the stressors that she was under.
Head coach Lauren Carnitz, gymnast Kaylee Burns, reflecting on the UW-Oshkosh women's team recently winning back-to-back national titles. 800-642-1234 to join in. Lauren, I don't want this conversation to get away. Just to ask you about the Title IX and that milestone getting so much attention on the 50th anniversary and the impact of how it's changed women athletes, how this law has changed gender discrimination. What do you think Title IX has meant for gymnastics?
I think gymnastics has been special because it's one of those sports that was developed like really strong in the female realm, where the men's gymnastics realm is not as popular. So we are really lucky that we have a sport that is just a wildly popular for women's gymnastics, for women. So I think we are lucky in that regard compared to, you know, basketball, where men's basketball is what really launched it. For us, women's gymnastics has always been one of the top performing Olympic sports, you know, on the spectator front. But I feel like, you know, Title IX has been really special this year in particular, because I've been able to look back and just remind my athletes, when I was in high school, I had to pole vault with a helmet on, but the boys did not. You know, so when I did track, there was that difference there, that and no one can believe that I had to do that, you know, compared to the boys did not have to wear a helmet and pole vault. It was a rule only for the girls because it was new, and, you know, I guess they had to protect the girls over the boys. I don't know. But that wasn't that long ago. Where in gymnastics, I haven't seen as much of the, you know, the, I guess, discrimination that we've seen in, you know, even women's soccer or
other sports.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us. And once again, congratulations to you both.
Thank you.
Thank
you. Lauren Carnitz, head gymnastics coach at UW-Oshkosh. Kaylee Burns on the team, junior majoring in business management. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.